Today we begin a new preaching series entitled The Greatest Stories Ever Told. We will be focusing on some of the great parables of Jesus. The first one I'd share with you today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the 14th chapter, verses 15 and following. The full text is included in your sermon outline if it's helpful. Please follow along as I share with you today the Word of God. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slaves to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel the people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" Here ends the lesson. Will you pray with me, please? Loving, gracious God, may we today understand in a new way the profound truth that you have shared in your word. Today, Lord, our ears are open. Touch our hearts. In Christ, amen. You know, children are such a delight. They really are. They see the world in a way that we don't. They have none of the cynicism that adults have. And so consequently, it's almost as if they crawl behind the scene and examine the world from the backside. Unfortunately, we lose that as we age. Experience supposedly wisens us. But in reality, I think we lose that sense of innocent appreciation for life. A first grade teacher surveyed her students. She gave them half of a cliche, a modern proverb, if you will, and she asked them to complete the sentence. And their responses were remarkable. I need your help on this. What I'll do is I'll give you the first half and then you give me the traditional. And then I'll share with you what the children came up with. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one. Strike while the bug is closed. Number two, it's always darkest before daylight savings time. Never underestimate the power of termites. Actually, I tried that out on my staff earlier this week. I said, never underestimate the power of, and they all said, women. I have a staff that's mostly women. They thought that was hilarious. Number four, don't bite the hand that looks dirty. A miss is as good as a mister. Oh, fooled you on that one. You can't teach an old dog new man. A penny saved is not much. These kids are wise, aren't they? Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you blow your nose. There are none so blind as Stevie Wonder. That's awful, isn't it? Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. delightful. Today I want to have more than fun with you. I want to take you behind the scenes to the incredible stories that Jesus tells, and perhaps allow you to begin to see and understand them in a new way. Because let's be honest, you've heard this all before, haven't you? You have. You've been listening to the stories of Jesus since you were children in Sunday school, right? Wow. The problem is familiarity does truly breed contempt. And we begin to have such a dismissive attitude to the extraordinary stories that Jesus told. And in the process, we miss a message that is so relevant, so timely, so timeless. We miss the extraordinary invitation of God. The story I shared with you this morning is really just a story of invitation and excuses. Unfortunately, it's so tied to first century, we read it today and it doesn't have the impact. Let me try to recast it slightly, reinterpret it so that it makes sense for you today, a 21st century audience. Jesus was having dinner with Pharisees. He had already healed a man who was sick, and they were appalled. And he was involved in a rather contentious conversation. And one of them said, well, blessed is anyone who eats the bread of the kingdom of God. And he meant the Jews. He meant those who were the religious folks of the day. And so in response to that arrogance, Jesus told a story. He said, well, there was a man, and he planned a feast. And he extended an invitation. That's how it worked back then in the first century. What would be done is you'd be invited for a particular day, not an hour. Because whenever the food was ready, then those who had accepted the invitation, they would be summoned. Because a feast, it was glorious. Remember, the people were poverty-stricken. Their life was one of grinding and ending poverty. And a feast was a cause for rejoicing and celebration. And so, a rich landowner was going to have a feast. And he sent out the invitations, and they were accepted. People said, yes, yes, count me in. I'll be there. You know what that's like, don't you? You've accepted invitations and then looked at your calendar and perhaps regretted them. Well, that's exactly what happened. Only it was worse than that. The people came up with the most unbelievable excuses. It's a little like when you were in high school and called up a girl for a date and she said she had to wash her hair. Come on. She could have done that before or after the date, right? If she really wanted to go out with you. Well, the landowner invited all the people to come to the dinner. And their excuses were abysmal. The first one said, hey, I just bought a used car and I need to take it for a test drive. Duh. Who buys a used car without taking it for a test drive, right? The second one said, well, I just brought some property out in Lone Jack, and I've never seen it before, and I really need to drive out there and take a look at the land. Who buys land without looking at it first? And the third one, that was the best of all. I forgot, I'm getting married. How absurd. Can you imagine accepting an invitation and then calling up afterwards and saying, you know, it totally slipped my mind, but I'm getting married that weekend? I mean, there is humor embedded in this. Jesus is poking very gentle but pointed fun of them because their excuses are so absurd. And then Jesus says something extraordinary. He said, so the rich man said, forget about all of them. Instead, we're going to go to everyone. The least likely, and invite them to come in. The people who are scarred and pierced. People with tattoos or rap sheets. People you'd never expect to find in the kingdom. We're going to extend the invitation to them. Because these arrogant religious folks, all they make is excuses. So what is Jesus saying to us today in the 21st century? Three lessons. First, the
time is now.
It's like this. Imagine, what's your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite restaurant? Applebee's? Who else? Anybody else? Outback? You have a favorite restaurant, right? Imagine someone calling you up and saying, you know, I love you so much. I just want to take you out, and I want to take you to the place you enjoy the most. He said, let's do it. Let's do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you have every excuse imaginable. And you miss the opportunity. And don't you see, the kingdom of God is all about opportunity, about extraordinary experience. 4th of July, we went to the Royals game. Have you been to a Royals game lately? Oh, they are delightful. They are delightful. I know they've had a long losing streak. I heard they hired a new batting coach, by the way. Did you hear about this? He's a Korean. His name is Win-Won Soon. I couldn't resist. Sorry. We went to the Royals game on 4th of July, and they lost. But, you know, I love going to Royals games because it's so congenial, you know, it's a family atmosphere. I love going to Royals games. And we had great seats, and we watched the Royals lose, and we cheered every time they had an opportunity. But, you know, it was painful to watch. And toward the end of the game, people are getting up and walking out. And I couldn't believe it because the best part was yet to come. It was 4th of July. They have fireworks. And we stayed for the last. And it was just awesome. We sat there, and right before us was the most spectacular fireworks imaginable. And everybody knew it was coming. It's just some people chose not to stay. And that's how it is in life. God sets a feast, and some people fail to show up. And He has set an awesome feast for you. And your very life depends upon it. I remember in the Allied campaign in World War II, the Allied forces were going to invade Palermo, Italy. But before they did, they intended to bomb the city. So you know what they did? They sent leaflet drops before the bombing. And they literally dropped leaflets on the people, warning them to flee, that there would be an invasion and that they were going to bomb the city before they did so. The most remarkable thing is most people chose not to flee. They stayed instead in their homes. They felt that there was some sense of security there. They couldn't believe the end was coming for that ancient city in Italy. In fact, what was really tragic was after the Allied forces had invaded and taken the city from the Nazis, they actually found people killed in the bombing, still holding the warning in their hands. The time is now. None of us know what life has for us in the future. And God has set for us a feast, and He has invited us to come in. Now is the time to choose. And it is a choice. That's the second point I need you to understand. You cannot settle for second best. See, we assume in life it's a choice between that which is good and that which is evil. Oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes the choices that we make in life come down to the choice between that which is good and that which is best. And unfortunately, we choose that which is good and we sacrifice what is best. The best word picture I can draw for you of that reality is a gentleman who believes that his responsibility is to provide for his family and to provide well. And he works hard. In fact, he works tirelessly to that task. And he is so single-minded and devoted in that process in terms of building a life and a lifestyle suitable for his family that in the process he loses that which he is sacrificing for. How often have you seen a man who saw his purpose, his singular purpose as providing for his family, lose his very family because of the neglect? It's no different in life. You have choices. And the choice to follow Jesus Christ is primary. And people really don't understand this. They say, well, how can I put God first in my heart when I love my wife or my husband or my children or my parents so deeply, so truly? Listen to me. Listen very carefully. When God is first in your heart, when that is the choice of your life, then everything else falls into place. All your relationships are prioritized. If you put someone or something else first, your life will always be in that state of disequilibrium. You think you're doing it for them, you're not. Because when you put God first in your heart, that elevates every other relationship. And your relationship with your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, it is enriched and enlivened so long as you have your priorities straight. God must come first in life. And then third, and finally, life is a feast and not a funeral. It's interesting. When Jesus was looking for a way to describe the kingdom of heaven, the best analogy, the best metaphor that Christ could come up with was a wedding feast, a wedding celebration, a reunion of family and friends, a sharing of a great feast, a celebration of joy, unequaled joy and excitement. In first century Palestine, the most joyous moment in anyone's life was their wedding celebration. And that's how Jesus describes heaven. And it is intended for you to be a blessing. Now let me set this straight for you. And let me be very blunt and frank. There is ample evidence in life for you to be miserable. There's ample reason for you to every day get up with a bad attitude. Every day. There's enough things that go wrong that are misunderstood or misinterpreted or just are miserable. There's enough every day for you to spend your life being angry or upset or feeling gypped or that somehow life has wronged you. There's enough evidence for you to make that choice every day. And if you do, it is your choice and you will be miserable. But listen to me. In the face of all that evidence, we have faith. And the assurance that every day has the abundant opportunity for you to give thanks and rejoice. For there is goodness embedded in life. There is extraordinary joy in living. If only we have the eyes to see it and experience it. It's there for everyone. But how extraordinarily rare are those people who, like Paul, find reason to give thanks and praise God every day. Did you go to the symphony last Sunday? Did you go to the symphony? You're not sure if you went to the symphony. It was out at Powell Garden last Sunday evening. Some of you were there, right? We went, we had a picnic, you know, and we're sitting there with good friends and we're laughing and we're talking and we're enjoying ourselves. We're under the tree because it is so bloody hot. And we're just sitting there and the symphony started to play and it was magnificent. And I'm thinking about all those people and their instruments and how warm they must be and what a blessing it is because it's wonderful. The music is just kind of wafting over the gardens. And it is spectacular. And then we saw the clouds start to roll in. And they're even talking about, you know, there's storms over Lone Jack. And I turned to my wife and I said, you know, the prudent thing would probably be to leave now. We both looked at it and at each other and we said, no, let's stay. Let's be adventurous. Let's see what happens. So we sat out there and they continued to play until the rain started to fall. And Marianne said, we're going to run up to the building. And I said, no, we'll stay right here. And we huddled under a blue plastic tablecloth. Oh, the orchestra stopped playing by that time, of course. The rain is coming down in sheets and the wind is blowing and everything. And we sat under the tablecloth and we laughed and we talked. And we joked, and we had a wonderful time. And then we finally wandered up to the house. We took all our stuff up to the car. There was a horrendous traffic jam. I said, let's not even get in line. So we stood outside, and we watched the lightning. And it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And here's the interesting thing. We're watching people drive by, and they all look miserable. They all look miserable. They look kind of wet and bedraggled. And they look unhappy and kind of a little angry. And they look somewhat irritated that we're having such a good time. I think they thought we were a little demented. In reality, we were simply savoring the moment. And I've got to tell you, it was a moment
of unparalleled joy. Why? Because we were expecting it. Because we had the eyes and the ears to see and hear and experience. Do you? Did you know? Dwight L. Moody's last sermon preached in his lifetime was right here in Kansas City. Did you know that? Did you know that? Dwight L. Moody, the great 20th century preacher, died in 1899. He preached his last sermon here in Kansas City, and he preached on this very text. This passage from the Gospel of Luke. And his sermon was simply entitled, Excuses. And he talked about all the people for whom the feast has been set, who offer up to God only excuses. Let me tell you what I know. I know that life is short. And you cannot find time in your life for what is important. You must make it. And if it isn't truly important to you, you will. Well, then ask yourself, what could possibly be more important than your relationship with God and your presence at the feast that He has set for you? Amen? Pray with me, please. Loving, gracious God, today we finally heard. Today we accept Your invitation. The RSVP that You wrote on the bottom of Your Word, today we choose to respond and accept Your invitation to experience life in Christ. Amen.